I am a child of God. I am no longer a slave to fear. What beautiful words, right? Before I get started, I want to, for those that don't know me, my name's Tim. I'm one of the elders here. Pastor Don is roughing it in Sacramento, California this week. What's the temperature in Sacramento, Sherry? 75 and sunny. He does sacrifice tremendously for this ministry. Now, serious note. When Don gets back next week, next time you see him, you know how Don is always encouraging and lifting us up? I want you all to encourage Don. Lift him up. He's out there at a conference growing and learning so that he can do a better job of ministering with us. God blesses that sacrifice, even though it is sunny and 75. But if any of you have never preached or prepared a message, it takes a tremendous amount of dedication and time and prayer and being in the Word and then having God change it and give you something else. So thank Don for that. That's my infomercial for this morning, okay? Thank Don. Encourage Don, because he deserves it. And Sherry as well, who ministers side by side with Don. So just make sure you do that. So you get a little break from Jeremiah today. I'm going to be in New Testament a little bit and a little bit in Ezekiel. But God's kind of given me some stuff. He's been kind of percolating for a couple of months now, and I get the opportunity to share it today. So on the screen, maybe, there's going to be a picture of a fountain. There it is. Thank Peggy for the picture. Before I start preaching, I actually want to have you try and get a vision in your minds today. Okay? I gave you the first vision because it's just a beautiful picture. But I want you to picture a fountain. That fountain has clear flowing water. And everywhere the water goes and overflows, there's life. There's beautiful flowers, there's the grass is green, everything is beautiful, right? But it takes the water flowing and spreading to make everything nice like that. And then I want you to envision another fountain. I want you to envision a fountain that's in disrepair. It's old, the water maybe is flowing a little bit, but the water's kind of that stagnant, you know, like you get in your bird bath fountain water. It's green, there's a lot of sticks and debris and leaves and junk in it. And it's not really flowing well over the edge, so that all of the ground around it is brown and withered. Okay, so I want you to keep those two pictures in your head this morning. The beautiful fountain flowing, everything's great. And then the other fountain that's maybe full of what I call junk. Leaves, twigs, debris, it's kind of stagnant and not really doing much. So keep those in your head as I preach. Starting in January when we did our time of prayer and fasting, during that time the Lord kind of gave me some scriptures and some guidance, some things he wanted me to pray for and how he wanted me to pray. And I'm going to share that today. And then I'm going to share a little bit of insight that God revealed to me when we went down to the Firestorm conference a couple of weeks ago. So one of the three things that God revealed to me during that time were these. The first one is he had me pray in a certain way during that time. He had me in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. I'll read that for you briefly here. Don't turn to it yet. We'll turn to it later. It says that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his calling. So he had me in that scripture, and he had me praying in that way, praying for revelation, knowledge, and that my eyes would be open to the things he had for me during that time of prayer and fasting. The second thing he revealed to me was he gave me, and this is through, I don't know where I heard the term, it might have been my wife, it might have been something I read, but he brought to mind the concept of stumbling blocks. Stumbling blocks are those things that interfere with my walk with the Lord, things that hinder my walk. And then he contrasted it, he said, also think about foundation stones. Of course, foundation stones are those things that help my walk with God. Okay? So, stumbling blocks, foundation stones. And he led me to Ephesians chapter 2 for that, which I'll read later. I'll read it right now. How about that? It says, now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. I'll elaborate more on that later. Okay, so he had me pray in a certain way. He brought to mind the concept of stumbling blocks versus foundation stones. And then the third thing God did was he really hammered home the importance of just giving him the praise. He led me to Psalms 145. It's a beautiful psalm, but throughout the psalm, it's just giving God the glory and honor and declaring that to everybody. So God told me the importance of doing those things. So that's what he had me doing. Now, I don't know if anybody has ever prayed and asked God to do something deep like that. But God guided me. He said, pray in this way. I prayed believing that God wanted to tell me something. I'm going to share a brief testimony of that. God revealed to me through a dream. I don't know if anybody believes that God speaks to you in dreams, but I dream only usually when God has something to say. I don't remember my dreams typically, so if I remember one, I always go back and figure out what it was. In this particular dream, I don't even remember the details at this point. At the time, it was very vivid and real, but now the details are fading away, which I believe is part of God's plan. But he revealed to me a couple of things in my walk that were stumbling blocks. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I think my walk's pretty good. So if God reveals something in my walk that is hindering what he has for me to do, I pay attention. So God revealed a couple of things that he brought to my mind that he wanted me to work on. One of them went back to when I was a child. I didn't even know it was a problem, but it was something in my personality that God wanted me to address, something that I had built on since childhood. I didn't even know it was a problem. So not everything he reveals is stuff we know that's this huge major sin. Sometimes it's subtle things that we've just become so accustomed to that we don't even realize it's a problem. But the beauty of the dream was that in the dream, God's revealing these things to me. I'm getting the light bulb moment where, okay, God, I get it. I want to take care of that. I want to work on that. I confessed to God that I wanted to do that. And God said to me, he said, once the issue is brought into the light, it has no power over you. Okay? He said that. And then he brought to mind Psalms 103, verse 12, which says, as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed your transgressions. I have not struggled with that issue since. God revealed it to me. Now, there are some other things that he revealed that I am continually in prayer about because I need to make sure that they don't come back. But in this case, he said, it's done. It's brought into the light. We dealt with it. It's over. And I have not had any thought of that issue since then. So praise God. If we ask, he will answer and he will reveal things to us. But what did I have to do in order for that to happen? I had to be in the Word I had to be praying. I had to be praising Him. All three things that He told me to do, I had to do. He said, pray this way. He said, He put the thought in my mind that there were stumbling blocks that I had to deal with. He didn't tell me what they were, but He said, pray for these things. And He said, praise me. Give me the glory. So I did all of those things, and God revealed and took care of that problem for me. Remember, one of those was a problem I didn't even know I had. So I thought that was pretty cool. Now, all week, this week, as I've been preparing for this message, God has kind of told me to do something. I have no idea how it's going to work out, but I'm going to do it because I try to be obedient. And right now, in this place this morning, I'm sensing the need to do it even more so. But God told me at this point in my message to ask a question. He said, is there anybody in this room right now, based on what we've said so far, that has an issue, a stumbling block, something they want to deal with? And then He prompted me this morning and He said, I know there's somebody in the room that has an issue. So have the altar call now. So here's the altar call for this part of the message. If there is anyone in this room right now that just based on what I've said so far or based on what God's Spirit has done in this room that has something they want prayer for right now, I challenge you to be bold and come up here and sit on that pew next to Patty O'Hare. God has something. He knows there's people in this room that have stuff. He wants to deal with it right now. It doesn't matter what the rest of my message says. I challenge you to be bold right now. Come up front and let God deal with it. The elders will come up and pray with you. We're not going to make a big fancy to-do about it. But if you have something, come up and get prayer. Faith is being bold. Fear is sitting in your pew and not coming up when you know you need to. So don't let fear overcome your faith. That's the challenge. Don't sit in the pew and be afraid that somebody's going to know you have a problem. If I weren't preaching, I'd go down and sit in the front pew. We all have things that God reveals to us. So you can sit in your pew and let fear overcome, or you can have a little faith and come forward and get some prayer. Okay? I'm going to pray. Any elders in the room, come forward. There's four ladies right in the front row that need prayer. So if there's some ladies, Angie, Chris, Sherry, come up and pray for these ladies. Now, because we are in a public forum, if this is something really deeply personal, you can just whisper it in somebody's ear. Or just tell them to pray for you. They can pray and then they can follow up with you later. Okay? We're not going to be a big public thing. But I want anybody that needs prayer to come forward and get prayed for. I'm going to stand up here and pray while they're praying. And then I'll actually bring the sermon. Okay? Anybody else? Anybody else that's got some boldness in them this morning? That's it? Okay, we got four. Okay. Gather around these four. I got Chrissy Kaufman and I got three ladies right here on the end. Patty, you can pray there too. You're right there. Sherry, you want to come over and pray? Pray however you want. I'm going to pray up here that God will take care of those problems, but I want the ladies right there praying with them too. Okay? Go ahead and do that. Sherry, you got something?
I don't
know if you needed it too. Well, that's okay. That's why we're whispering. I'll stand up here and pray while they're praying. It's a little quiet in here. I know usually we have music, but that's okay. So, Heavenly Father, as the ladies in the front row are receiving prayer, Lord, I would just thank You for Your presence in this place. I thank You, Lord, that You are here with us. I thank You that the words of the song we sung earlier are true and real. I thank You, Lord, that You want to deal with these issues that You have already revealed to people this morning. It says, I am no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb You have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into the family. Your blood flows through my veins. Lord, if we believe the word and we believe in you, if we are a believer, we know, Lord, that you hear our prayers. You know what we need. You reveal things to us, Lord, so that they can be taken care of. So I thank you, Lord, that you are doing that this morning already. I thank you, Lord, that faith overcomes fear. That when we are in your presence, we are surrounded by your angels. Fear has no place in your house. Fear has no place in this church right now. Faith is overcoming fear. I thank you, Lord, for the boldness of those that came forward. I pray, Lord, that as I continue to preach this morning and bring your word, that you would reveal even more things to more people if they have them, even if it's stuff they never even knew about, Lord. I know that you want to take care of it all this morning. I am no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. What beautiful lyrics. I am surrounded by the arms of the Father. Lord, I sense your presence this morning. I know, Lord, your angels are around us. Your arms are around us here this morning. Thank you, Father, for being here in this place with us. I am surrounded by the arms of the Father. I am surrounded by the songs of deliverance. We've been liberated from our bondage. We are sons and daughters. Let us sing of the freedom. What beautiful lyrics. What a beautiful song to open with, Lord. I thank you for that. I thank you, Father, for those that came and were ministered to this morning. Okay, as they're finishing up, I'm going to continue here. Thank you for those that were bold enough to come forward. I know that's hard to come up. So I thank the Lord that he is here in this place and that faith overcomes fear. Okay, we're gonna start by turning to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. That's where God started me out a couple of months ago during that time of prayer and fasting. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18 is where we're going to read from there. I read it, but I'm going to read it again because it's important that we get the gist there. It said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. So the first part of that, it says, praying that God may give you, okay? Very important that we ask God so that he will do things. If we don't ask, why would he tell us? It's important that we're in the word. So when I went to this word, it says, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Just a quick Webster's dictionary. Wisdom, quality of having experience or good judgment. Keep in mind the word experience. Revelation. That's God's disclosure of his nature and purpose for mankind. God's disclosing himself, his own nature. I think that's awesome that God reveals himself to us through the word. But we have to be in the word so that he can disclose it to us, don't we? Supernatural disclosure to humans. God doesn't have to do that. God does that because he loves us when we seek him. And knowledge is the understanding, comprehension, or awareness. So in that one verse, you see the meat there? Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. God reveals himself through his word when we seek him. And then verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling. Understanding, we know, is comprehension. Enlightenment is being well aware or developed. Do you get this? I can pray for wisdom, revelation, knowledge of God. You can pray for those same things. Do you believe that you can pray in that way and God will reveal himself? That's like a light bulb moment. Think about that. God wants to do that. As we seek him, be in prayer, be in the word, and praise him, he's going to reveal himself to you. But we have to press in. We have to seek him. I don't know if anybody knows anything about submarines. We're going to go off topic a little bit here. We need to immerse ourselves in the word. Immerse ourselves in the word. Think of a submarine. A submarine, when it's on the surface of the water, is slow, vulnerable to attack, and is not a very effective weapon. Why do you think submarines submerge? To hide. They can go faster, they're silent, and they are very effective weapons when they're submerged. We as believers are the same way. If I'm a submarine, I'm sitting on the surface of the water, I am vulnerable. 90% of me is still vulnerable from above. That's the world. The world is out there and it wants to attack me. I am vulnerable if I'm on the surface. But if I submerge or immerse myself in the Word of God and in the things of God and the things of the kingdom, I am protected. Now I'm surrounded by God. I'm immersed in him. I'm protected. I can be better used by God because I am fully in with him. So I can stay on the surface and just a little bit of me can be used, or I can go under and be immersed and be used powerfully. Okay? In Zechariah chapter 14, I think it's verse 8 and 9, it says, living water will flow from the temple. Okay? And then back in Ezekiel, which I'll reference, Ezekiel 47, I'm going to read part of that because it's important that we get this concept. And I believe Pastor Daniel, when he was here a few months ago, referred to Ezekiel as well. I'm going to read a little bit of it so that you get the full context. And it says, and this is in chapter 47, I'll start in verse 1. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east, and there was water running out of the right side. Then the man went out the east with the line of his hand and measured 1,000 cubits. He brought me through the waters. The waters came up to my ankles. Okay, the ankles is a submarine floating on top. It's just a little bit of it's in the water. Most of it's out of the water. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters that came to my knees, and again measured 1,000, brought me through waters that came up to my waist. Again he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim. That's the submarine that's under the water, fully immersed. A river that could not be crossed, and he said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. Few verses down in verse 9 it says, and it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the river goes will live. There will be very great multitude of fish because the waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. A lot of stuff there, I know that. But we are called the living water. When we accept Christ is in us. He is the living water. So if you picture yourself as the living water of Christ, everything we touch as believers Everything, everywhere the water flows has the potential for life. Everything we touch has potential for life as believers. The flip side is everything we touch also has the potential to die if we are not doing what we're called to do. If my witness is bad, if I have too many of them stumbling blocks in my life, if I have too many things, too much junk in my fountain, I cannot effectively minister. My water is not flowing the way it should. I can negatively impact those people I come in contact with. So as a believer, my responsibility is to make sure my fountain is clear of junk and flowing, and I am immersed in the Word. I know there's a lot of water references here, okay? The water washes us clean. I could go on and on. So the concept here is that everything I touch, I should have a positive effect on if I'm in the Word and immersed in God. So we need to immerse ourselves in the water, in the things of the Lord. If I'm immersed, if I'm swimming, then I will flow and I will grow and I will be able to minister to those around me. But if I have all that junk, it affects my ministry. Remember, stumbling blocks are those things that affect my ability to be with God and to do the things He calls me to be. So we need to soak in as much of God as we can. We need to learn to swim, church. Right? Is anybody still with me? We need to learn to swim. Anybody take swimming lessons when you were a kid? I thought about this the other day. God brought to mind that when I was a kid, I had to take swimming lessons. I hated swimming lessons. You had to go to the public pool with all them other kids in the same pond, so to speak, and you had to learn to swim. Every year from when I was like that big, and each year you progressed, hopefully, in your swimming lessons, right? You started out holding on to the end in the shallow end. Learned to kick, learned to breathe. Remember they put your head in the water, you had to learn to breathe? I thought, this is stupid. I don't want to be here. I couldn't wait for swimming lessons to be over. But gradually, you learn to swim, don't you? I didn't like to learn to swim. Each year I went back and you progressed until you were actually swimming. And then when you graduated, they actually let you dive off the diving board into the deep end. And then it was like, yeah, this is pretty cool. I can swim and I don't have to worry about it now. And I never have to go back for swimming lessons again, right? But that took time, right? It takes time to learn to swim. As a believer, it takes time to learn how to do it. You're a Christian, now you know everything in the book. It takes time. You have to work at it. I had to work at swimming lessons. But you know what? When I was 18 and joined the Marines, and I went to the pool, they didn't give me time to learn to swim. They said, jump in and don't touch the bottom. We ain't coming to save you. So I was glad that I learned to swim. Okay? Same thing as a believer. You will be glad that you learn how to swim and immerse yourself in the Word when you are challenged by the world. Or when you're witnessing to somebody and they challenge you. You will be glad you learned how to swim. So you need to immerse yourself in the Word. Now, if you are bold, maybe I'll ask one of these ladies that came up front earlier. If you're really bold, there's another way to swim. Learn to swim. Anybody ever see the movie Hondo? Ain't John Wayne fans? Come on, there's got to be at least one. Dave's nodding. Tom, you know. Come on. Gordon, thank you. Hondo. John Wayne is at this ranch with this widow woman and she has a little child. John Wayne's sitting on the bank. The kid's fishing. He's got the sun in his behind him. And he's casting a big shadow, and the Duke says, you ain't going to catch any fish that way. They can see you. You need to be on the other side with the sun in your face. The kid says, I can't. Mom won't let me go over there. I can't swim. What'd he do? He picked him up and threw him in. The kid learned to swim, right? So if you're bold, dive in. The water's nice. God's got you covered. He ain't going to let you drown. Be bold. Dig into the Word. There's nothing in here to be afraid of. Not one thing, unless it's God convicting you of something He wants you to deal with. But we'll talk about that in a minute. So be bold. Learn to swim. I don't care if you want to take swimming lessons, that's great. We'll help you along. If you want to dive in, we'll help you with that too. So be bold, learn to swim, immerse yourself in the Word. Okay. Now you can turn to Ephesians chapter 2 for a little bit. Chapter 2, verse 19 and 20, or 19 through 22. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about foundation stones. Okay, remember I read that earlier. I'm going to repeat it again because it's important. It says, "Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into the holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Think of that. One, we're fellow citizens, members of God's household. When we accept the Lord, we are members of the family. He welcomes us in. We're built on the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, and Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. The whole building fitting together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Now, I know this structure we in is just a building. Bricks and mortar. What makes up the body is all of you. When we are in the Word, we become foundation stones to build the holy temple. This is a building, but when we are all in here and God is in here, this is a holy temple. We are all being fit and built together. But we have to be in the Word to be foundation stones. If I'm not in the Word and not growing, not learning to swim, what's the opposite of a foundation stone? I'm one of those stumbling block things. Any builders in the room? What happens if I have a nice cornerstone called Jesus, and then I have a nice foundation stone called Don and Sherry, and then I have this big misshapen rock that isn't fitting in with the pattern? What happens to my structure? It's unstable. It's not going to continue to be level and be built upon correctly, right? Them stumbling blocks are going to affect the foundation. There are a lot of stumbling blocks that we have to deal with if we're going to continue to build the temple into a place, a dwelling place for God. I personally do not want to be one that brings a stumbling block and throws off the foundation. That's why I am striving to grow and learn to swim, because I don't want to wreck the foundation. A lot of work's been put into the foundation. All other stones will be set in reference to the first stone. The cornerstone is Jesus Christ. Everything else flows from that. Without Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter if we have Don and Sherry as our pastors. Because if they're not in the Word, going by what the Word says, Christ is the cornerstone. If they're not doing what they're going to do, it doesn't matter if God is not at first. It doesn't matter if the elders do the best we can if we don't follow the authority of Jesus Christ and our pastors. It all comes together. Christ is the cornerstone, and then everything else flows from that. My wife had a perfect illustration a few months ago. You ever see a flock of geese? They're in the V formation. How many geese are at the beginning of the formation? One. How many people are at the head of the church? One. His name's Jesus Christ. We all fall under that authority. What happens if the geese, if there's four or five of them in the front? They're confused. They're lost. They don't know where they're going. They're not doing anything. They're not going anywhere because that V forms a nice aerodynamic, everything flows. But if they're just haphazard flying around, they're not getting anything done. It's the same way with the church. If we don't come under the authority of Jesus Christ, and then the authority of our pastors and leaders and so on, we're just a mess. We don't know how to come under the authority if we're not in the Word doing what it says. Okay? We have to be cornerstones that we can be built upon. All Scripture is relevant. All gifts are active. Everything is true that's in this Word. If we immerse ourselves in the Word, we find out what the truth is, and then we can learn to swim, and we can work and build on that. Don't allow stumbling blocks or strongholds or sins, whatever you want to call them, don't allow that to prevent you from being in the Word. Christ overcame the world for us. We can overcome the sins of the world for Him. We're not going to get perfect. There's only one perfect guy, and that was Jesus Christ. But we should all be striving to get better. We need to press in, learn to swim, and deal with that stuff. Okay? So what prevents us from doing that? I thought of a couple of things. God kind of revealed a couple things to me. I kind of alluded to one of them when I did the altar call this morning when I started. Fear. Oftentimes we let fear overcome what we want to do. We know what we should do, but we let fear interfere. Sometimes it's a fear of sin revealed. Maybe I'm afraid that if I come up front and share that fear, that sin, that stumbling block with somebody, that now the whole world knows and they're going to judge me. Well, you know what? God already knows, so it ain't no secret. So fear sometimes of that sin being revealed prevents us from getting the help we need to deal with it. Remember, fear is from the enemy. Faith is from God. I'll give you a quick example in the Bible just because I love David and Goliath. The whole army was afraid of this giant. They let fear overcome their faith. They had seen what God had done in the kingdom for years. But they let fear overcome that faith, that belief in God. They were afraid of the giant. And then here comes this little old David who didn't know enough to be afraid. He just had faith. And he took care of the giant. Doesn't matter what our sin is, what our stumbling block is. If we have faith and believe in God, God can take care of the giant. It doesn't matter if it's a little thing that we didn't even know we had or it's this big thing that we think we'll never deal with. God can deal with it if you believe that He can. Maybe I like my sin. Anybody have a little sin and they like it? I bet we all do. Maybe you're thinking it's just a little thing. It doesn't interfere with my walk. No big deal, right? Well, that's a lie from the enemy. My little sins, my small sin mentality, maybe I just don't want to give it up because I like it. We all got those. We all got those. Let's be honest. I got those. I got little things that, you know, I like that. But you know what? It still needs to be dealt with. Doesn't matter if it's this big, huge catastrophe or if it's a little bitty thing. I already know I got to deal with it because I just admitted it. God already knows. So I need to deal with those little things as well as the big things. So maybe I just don't want to give it up because I like it. I can give you a lot of examples of those, but you already know what they are, so we won't do that. Maybe I just don't realize that something is a sin. Maybe I don't realize it's something that's interfering with my walk until God reveals it to me. That's why it was when I was in prayer and God revealed in a dream something I didn't even realize was affecting my walk until he revealed it. And then I could look back and say, yep, it affected that, it affected that, it affected that. So that's something that God revealed in, to me that I know was an issue, and now I'm dealing with it. So sometimes we just don't know what we don't know, right? Until God reveals it. But then there's that fear word again. Maybe I don't pray because I don't want God to reveal it to me, and I won't have to own it, right? So maybe I just won't pray because I don't want to know all those things. Whatever it is, I know we all deal with all of these things. Maybe not all at the same time, hopefully, but there's always something out there we can improve on. A couple easy examples, you know, for me, maybe it's I watch too much television. Who watches too much television? I'm going to tell you, any amount of television is too much television. Because there ain't nothing on worth watching. But sometimes I watch television instead of being in the Word or doing something that I should be doing. Maybe that's just one example. There are others, I'm sure. Maybe it's too much fishing. Or too much exercising. Don't chuckle. Too much exercise can be a bad thing. Right? Or maybe it's clean up too much water on the ground instead of going out to dinner with your wife. But we all have them. I can laugh about it. I can joke about it. But the bottom line is we all have things that become stumbling blocks or have the potential to become stumbling blocks. Maybe I watch 1 hour of TV a night. That's cool. It's not a stumbling block because then I turn it off and I go do something God stuff. That's fine. But you know what? If I get hooked on one of them shows and I sit and watch it like every night until every episode's watched, that may be a problem. And I know we've all done that too. I did that just last weekend. Me and Katie, every night during the week, we're watching Soul Survivor or Lone Survivor, whatever. Designated Survivor. Because it gets you, and then you have to see how it ends. Well, you know what? It never ends. Yeah, so you're hooked, right? Okay. Anyway, there's a lot of things you can do that you may not think are a big impact that are. So I just challenge you to examine what you're doing. All right. Anybody ever heard of Chuck Yeager? Finally, I got somebody my... Tom, you know Chuck Yeager, right? What'd Chuck Yeager do? The pilot. Broke the sound barrier. I read his book when I was a teenager. I think it's the reason I joined the Marines to get into aviation. In this late 40s, Chuck Yeager was the guy credited with breaking the sound barrier. First guy in a jet to go the sound barrier, okay? Something he said in a book he wrote was, the real barrier was not in the sky, but in man's lack of knowledge and experience. In his day, they actually thought that if you fly a plane and break the sound barrier, that you're gone because it's actually like an invisible wall. Chuck Yeager said, I ain't afraid of that. I'm going for it. Right? He broke the sound barrier and then went on to do many other things. Same is true of us, church, in our walks. If we let fear or our lack of knowledge and experience hinder our walk, we're letting fear win. Chuck Yeager could have let fear win. He could have said, no, I'm not going to die by hitting that invisible wall. We're done. And we'd have never had jet flight or in outer space or any of that. He broke that thought process. Lack of knowledge and experience. So, if I have a lack of knowledge and experience, it's my own fault because it's right here in the book. I can get all the knowledge and experience I want. I can pray that God reveal himself, and he will. We can pray for that revelation, wisdom, insight, that he would reveal those stumbling blocks so that we can turn them into foundation stones. Right? Experience. Something that once hindered can now be used to help others. Once we turn them stumbling blocks, those sins, and we deal with them, now when I go witness to people, now when I'm out in the world, now they see the change. Now I can effectively use that experience and knowledge that I have from dealing with those things to help others. So it all flows. But until I deal with those things, the flow is interrupted. I give you all these TV show examples. You ever see the TV show Forged in Fire? That's probably a tough one. That's on some channel, I don't even know. My son introduced me to that sin. But the show Forged in Fire is cool. It's a competition. They get four blacksmiths or people that like to make blades, knives, and different things, and they bring them on this show, and they're judged on their ability to make a blade. They're given strange things to make them out of course. It can't be easy. But then they're judged on making the blade, and the winner obviously gets some money. The point to this is they take raw metal or material, they heat it in a forge to extraordinary temperatures, thousands of degrees. They pull it out, they mold it, usually with hammers, into the desired form. And then to harden it, they quench it. They take this hot piece of metal they formed and they dunk it in a barrel of oil. And it quenches it and hardens it. That's the Christian walk, folks. We are like that metal that needs to be heated up sometimes. Sometimes we need to go into the furnace. We need to come out of the furnace, and sometimes God needs to beat some sense into us. But it's to harden us and refine us so that we can do His will. If we're never challenged, never hardened, never thrown into the fire, we don't have as great an ability to do what God wants us to do. We become stronger when we're tested. Hebrews 4:12 says, "The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Okay? The word tells us we will have trials. Do I like trials? No. Do I like God to reveal to me that I have all these things that I need to deal with? No. But you know what? The more I deal with the sins, the stumbling blocks, whatever you want to call them, the stronger I become, the more effective a tool I become, the stronger my witness becomes. Everything flows from dealing with the junk. If I don't deal with the junk, I cannot do those things I'm called to do. Stumbling blocks, big or small, need to be dealt with. Has anybody ever walked a trail through the woods? Like gone camping or walking the mountains? I know Robert and Corey hike all over countryside. If I'm walking a trail and there's a large boulder there and I trip over it, am I going to fall? No, you're going to go around it. But me, I would fall. But you know what? If there's a small stone on that trail, I can still step on it and trip and fall. Doesn't matter if it's a little thing or a big thing, it still can cause me to fall. Stumbling blocks or sins need to be dealt with. The only way I deal with them usually is by being in the Word so that God can reveal them to me. Some are obvious, some I know, but there's a lot of little things that I get into and I don't even know that it's a problem. Maybe it's an attitude. Maybe it's an offense. Maybe it's, you know, who knows? There's all kind of words I could throw out there that I've dealt with. Sometimes it's just an offense. I deal with that one. Anybody ever get offended when somebody tells them something? Even if they're right? Right? I've had times where I've gone offended at my wife because she's corrected me or given me a word and I'm like, that ain't what I read. Doesn't matter. It's what God told her to tell me. And I get offended. Anybody ever get offended by authority or from somebody telling you to do something, even if they're right? Yeah, let's be honest. That's all of us sometime, right? So it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be this big, huge sin. Maybe I, you know, cheated on my wife. Maybe I did. Maybe I didn't. Maybe it's I watched too much TV. Big or small, attitude, something of the heart, something of the mind. It's all stuff that I need to deal with. I need to ask God. I'm going to go back to the beginning. Ask God to reveal those things He wants you to deal with. Don't be afraid to ask God to help you. Breakthrough comes when we move toward God, not away from Him. When we immerse ourselves in the Word, God will speak to us. If I'm never in prayer, never in the Word, I'm going to have a hard time hearing what God's saying. Now, there's a fringe benefit to this, folks. I know this is getting like, oh man, this guy wants us to confess all my sins and get right with God. Well, you know what? At the Firestorm Conference, there were a couple of speakers there that were really good. I don't remember which ones exactly, but they were talking about our identity in Christ. And something they said kind of stuck with me. The more we immerse ourselves in Christ, the more we discover our identity in Christ. We discover our identity in Christ. Folks, our identity is not what the world says we are. My identity is not, oh, Tim's the occupational therapist at Lock Haven Hospital. That's not my identity. My identity is not my family tree. Oh, six generations I came from wherever I came from. I don't know where I came from. Ireland or somewhere. That's not my identity. Those are all things that form me into a person, but they're not who I am in Christ. My identity in Christ, I am a child of God. Fellow heir to the kingdom. That's my identity. Don't you want to know who you are in Christ? It's not what the world says I am, it's what God says I am, and it's what God has for me to do. I think it was Don a couple weeks ago was in one of his Jeremiah, being formed in the womb for a purpose, right? God formed us in our mother's womb for a purpose. We need to discover what our identity is in Christ and the purpose He has for us. It's not just to be of the world. We're better than that. We are heirs to the kingdom of God. And then our ministry is a natural overflow of that saved life. Okay, our ministry is an overflow of the saved life. We need to deal with the junk. We need to know what our identity is in Christ. We need to get all of that in one place. But it all comes from being in the Word and giving God the glory and honor and praise He deserves and just asking Him to reveal and grow us, teach us to swim. I'm going to close. A couple closing comments. So the worship team, you guys can start coming back up. You remember Mary gave birth to Jesus? Remember that, Mary? Mary's identity was changed when she said yes, wasn't it? But she said yes. In Revelation 3, verse 20, it says, Jesus stands at the door and knocks. He is at the door of my heart, knocking. He's at the door of your heart. The question is, will you open the door, or are you going to let fear run your world and stay in your own little bubble? Because if we don't deal with the fear and we don't deal with those stumbling blocks, those issues, yeah, we might be good Christians. We might accomplish some things. I'm not saying you're never going to accomplish anything. But we can accomplish so much more if we deal with those things and immerse ourselves in God. I love Revelation 4. A lot of us don't go beyond Revelation 3 where it says he stands and knocks. Revelation 4:1, it says, "Behold, a door standing open in heaven." Our door's closed. Jesus has to knock. How sad is that? On his side, his door is wide open, ready for us to make the move. He wants us to go toward him, but we have to open our door and then go. I want you to picture that fountain that we talked about earlier. We've got the good fountain on the wall there. That's the fountain where I'm immersed in the Word and I'm immersed in the things of God. And the water is flowing and all is beautiful. And everything that we touch grows and has life. That fountain doesn't stay looking beautiful by itself. That fountain has a gardener. I'm the first person by the fountain. I've got to be dealing with the leaves and twigs and crap that gets into my fountain. If I don't deal with them, then my fountain slowly gets into the other state. But picture this. Helping take care of that garden, my fountain, is God. Because I'm in the Word, I'm immersed in Him, I'm asking Him to help me. So there's two people taking care, keeping that beautiful fountain flowing and beautiful. And everything that the water flows has life. Now, if as I'm preaching, you're thinking my fountain's more like the junky one you described, guess what? If I give that stuff to God, now picture I'm at that fountain. Maybe you're thinking there's too much junk in my fountain. There's no way I can get it cleaned out. Ask God to help you. Picture you cleaning that fountain and God comes alongside you and is helping you with the junk. He's helping you get the sticks and stones and boulders and crap out of your fountain so that it flows. And then picture you belong to a church. You belong to the family of God. So now picture around that fountain now comes Don and Sherry. Now comes Tim. Now comes Chris. Because we all love you and we want you to deal with the junk. And now the next thing you know, you've got all these people around your fountain helping you clean it out. That's the family of God. That's the kingdom of God. That's the promise we have. You're not alone in your junk, in your sin, in your troubles. God wants to come around you. That's why He put you in a church, so you have the family of God around you to support you. So you're not alone. So picture yourself. Yeah, you got a lot of junk in your fountain. So do I. But you know what? I can come forward for prayer, and that's the first step to asking God and others to help me deal with it. So if you have any other needs, maybe you had fear earlier and now God's giving you some boldness. If anybody else needs prayer, come forward. We'll deal with some more junk. If you don't know this God, this Jesus I'm talking about, come forward. I don't know everybody's condition today, but if there's anybody that just needs to know God, come forward. We'd love to pray for you and introduce you to Him. But don't let the fear overcome the faith. You've got to believe that God's going to deal with these things and will help you deal with them. So come forward if you need prayer.